Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's a holiday weekend. I think we're all breathing a little easier, aren't we? Enjoying a little extra time off, at least some of us. And today we're grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. God has been good to us, and we are so blessed.
Amen.
Many years ago, Jesus told a story about a very ordinary man who lived in a very ordinary house. This house was small, it was humble, it was simple, it had one door, one window, and two floors. And in this house, the door had rings on the doorpost, and every night, the last thing the man did before he went to bed was deadbolt his door. He would slide a rod through the first ring across the door and into the other, and it was a bit of work to get accomplished before he went to bed. This house also had a small kitchen on the main floor and a wide open space where the dog and the cat and the chickens would sleep at night. And upstairs, there was a large mat where the whole family slept, the man and his wife and all the kids side by side by side. Well, as the story goes, one night, the family was sound asleep. They were sawing logs to beat the band when all of a sudden, the man sat bolt upright. He had heard some sound, and he's like, what was that? As he listened a little longer, he realized somebody was banging on the door. Somebody was shouting. And after a while, he said, yeah. What do you want? I mean, just go away. Leave us alone. I want to sleep. And the man downstairs said, well, I need your help. I have a friend who's come from out of town. He came to visit me. I didn't know he was coming. We don't have any food in the house. And I'd like it if you could loan me 3 loaves of bread. And the man upstairs said, are you crazy? You think I'm going to get up and trip over my wife and kids and wake them up? You think I'm going to crawl down the ladder in the dark? You think I'm going to rile the dog, the cats, and the chickens? And you think I'm going to go to all the trouble to unbolt the door to give you 3 lousy loaves of bread? I don't think so. Please, the man said, I need your help. We're friends. We're neighbors, remember? And hospitality is something that is sacred. I need your help right now. Forget it, said the man upstairs. I'm going back to sleep. Come back tomorrow. Maybe I can help you then. And as soon as the man laid his head back down on the pillow, he began to hear the rapping at the door. He began to hear the man shouting once again, and he suddenly woke up to the fact he wasn't going to get another wink of sleep that night until he went down and helped out his neighbor. The point of Jesus' story is very clear. Our God in heaven is not like that man upstairs. Our God in heaven is not an old grump who hates to be bothered. Our God loves it when we come to him in prayer. Our God loves it when we ask, when we seek, when we knock. He promises to throw the doors of heaven open and bless us. He loves it when we come to him and we ask him for our daily bread. When we ask even for a fish or an egg, he's not going to drop a scorpion or a snake in our hands and run off and laugh at us. He wants to give us everything we need. And more than anything else, God wants to give to us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, when God gives to us the promise of his Spirit, we got to ask ourselves the question, what does that all involve? And I wanted to know myself. So one day, I sat down in front of my computer, and I pulled up my favorite Bible software program, and I went looking for all the verses in the New Testament that have to do with the Holy Spirit. With the click of a mouse, almost 300 verses came up on the screen. So I began to sift through them, and I began to say, okay, which one of these involves promises? And I brought those all together, and then I sorted through them to see what dominant themes would emerge. And there were 5 of them. The first of these is this. When the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, we will be sealed. We will be made secure in our salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, there are a number of Bible verses that speak to that, but today we're going to look at just 3 of them, and I got PowerPoint people today. They're not on the screen. They're in the pews, and Nikki, you have the first verse for us. Would you read that, please?
2 Corinthians 1:21-22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit.
Thank you. Valerie's over here and she's got the second one. Appreciate all these people helping me out today. Barbara Warner has the other one. You're going to get a workout this morning, Caleb.
2 Corinthians 5:5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come.
Thank you. And one more. Back to Barbara.
Ephesians 1:11-14. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Thank you. So there are two dominant images that come through in these verses. The first of these is a seal. Back in the old days when a merchant packaged up a crate of high-end merchandise and got ready to ship it off, he would seal that package. In essence, that seal would say, this is who the package belongs to and this is where it came from. In today's terms, we would say, this package belongs to Trader Joe's, and it was shipped from Monrovia. The essence for us is this. When God puts his package together in our lives, he seals us with his Spirit, and we suddenly know who we are and who we belong to. And what's more, we know where we have come from and where we are going. The second piece of imagery that we find here is that of a deposit. 9 years ago, Linda and I drove across the country to make our new home here in the Sonoma County area. And the very first thing we did was go house shopping. We looked at house after house after house, and finally we made a selection. We sat down with our realtor, we wrote up an offer, and with that offer we placed a $1,000 check. That check is called what? Earnest money, or it's called a deposit. And that deposit communicates a powerful message to the seller, to the realtor agency, and to the bank. And that is, we are serious about this offer, and we are committed to seeing all of our promises, all of our commitments through. Well, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in to take up residence in our lives. A deposit is made, and God is saying to us, I am serious about saving this man, this woman. I'm serious about the relationship that we will share together. I'm serious about the life that we will share together, and I will make sure that you get everything that you've got coming to you. The second thing that we can see in terms of dominant themes in the promises of the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit will come to power up our Christian life. And again, there are a number of verses that speak to that, but we'll look at just two of them. Jerry Hetzer has the first one for us.
In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God says, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth.
Thank you. And then Jim Kimster over here.
First Peter 1:2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance.
So the operative word in these verses is sanctification. Big word, wouldn't you say? But what does it mean? What in the world is sanctification? Very simply, it is my life journey with Jesus. Puts it pretty simply, doesn't it? My life journey with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is an integral part of that spiritual journey from start to finish. The Holy Spirit helps get us going. The Holy Spirit helps to keep us going strong. The Holy Spirit helps us to reach our destination. And the Holy Spirit is there to give us victory at every step of the way. Well, many years ago, Dwight L. Moody was preaching an evangelistic sermon to a big crowd of people. And he held up to them a glass. And he said, folks, I've got a glass here in my hand, and I want to know, what does it take to get all the air out of this glass? A big booming voice from the back of the auditorium said, use a pump. Well, the evangelist smiled. He chuckled a bit, and he said, well, that's quite a good idea, but it won't work because the vacuum, it will create a vacuum that will shatter the glass. Anybody else have an idea? And there were people all over the auditorium with all kinds of ideas of what it would take to get the air out of the glass. He thanked them, and then he went on to explain what it really takes to get all the air out of the glass. There. So that's what it takes to get all the water out of, all the air out of the glass. And he said, the same thing happens in your Christian journey. Great excuse for a drink of water. But he said, if you want to get sin out of your life, you can't just suck it out, can you? If you want to get victory in your life, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will grow as a Christian. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will enjoy victory in your life. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have sustaining grace for the sanctified life. So that takes us through the second point. And the third point that we want to see here today is that when the Holy Spirit is in our lives, we will be well taught. And we've got some verses for that too. Ron Wheeler, I think you're the next one here.
It says in John 14:26, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you.
Well read. Thank you. And then Brody down front here has the next one.
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come.
Thank you. So Jesus was a teacher. For 3.5 years, he taught his disciples very well. The thing was, they had so much more to learn. And so Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to be their teacher. Now, this teacher, Jesus tells us, operates at two levels. First of all, the teacher, the Holy Spirit, helps us to remember what Jesus has already taught us, the things we've already learned from our journey with Jesus. And I need that kind of thing, don't you? I need that reminder every single day as I walk with Jesus. And I need that reminder every single day as I witness for Jesus. Because sure thing, somebody's going to come along and they're going to say, why are you so happy all the time? What is it that makes you tick? What is the reason for the hope that is within you? And I'm going to need the prompting of the Holy Spirit to know what of the teachings of Jesus I can appropriately share with them in that moment. What's more, I need the reminders when it comes to those last days when I very well may be called into court to give a reason for the hope that is within me. And we've got a verse about that as well. Who has that one for us? Kimberly. Thank you.
Mark 13:11. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given to you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit.
So the Spirit's teaching me everything I've learned about Jesus. But there's another piece to this, too, and that is the Holy Spirit teaches us forward, because learning and teaching is a progressive kind of thing. There's a forward momentum to the whole kind of thing. I need Jesus to tell me through his Spirit the things I need to know to keep growing, to keep serving well. And so I have this dynamic going. The Holy Spirit teaching me what I've already learned, help me remember what I've already learned, and taking me forward with very personal prompting. There's a story told of a young man who trained to become a pilot. He studied hard. He got into the books and learned everything there. He paid attention when his flight instructor taught him along the way. And finally, the day came when he got his pilot's license. Before the ink was even dry on his diploma, he was in the plane and off on a trip. He's having a great time flying through the sky when all of a sudden he found himself socked in with fog. He didn't know which way was which. All he knew was that the closest airport was in an unfamiliar city. He didn't know what to do. As he began to relax, he realized that he could suddenly remember everything he had learned in his books. He could remember everything that his flight instructor had taught him, and that served him well in that moment. But something else happened. A voice came over his headset saying, "This is the control tower. We can see right where you're at. We're going to stay with you, buddy, every inch of the way until you land this puppy." And now, over the next 45 minutes, that voice was with him, prompting him, telling him how to navigate through the fog, and he finally landed that plane safe and sound. You and I are on a flight, often socked in by fog. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us remember everything we've already learned from Jesus. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us navigate this thing all the way through until we safely land on heaven's shore. The fourth thing that we can see in the New Testament is that the Holy Spirit powers up our prayers. A couple verses here. I think that Pam Hall has our first one.
Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints."
And then Nathan has it.
Romans 8:26. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express."
Thank you. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever groan? Do you ever groan? I sure do. There are times when I get so sick and I hurt so much that all I can do is groan. There are times when the losses are so profound, all I can do is groan. There are times when I am so scared, I don't know what's coming my way, but I am so scared that all I can do is groan. There are times when the burden is so heavy, all I can do is groan. There are times when the opportunities that come my way are so overwhelming. I can't believe these opportunities are coming my way, but I can't think straight, and all I can do is groan. There are times when my hopes and my dreams are so big that all I can do is groan. And what I've discovered in all of this is that groaning is an important Christian discipline. Groaning is prayer without words. Have you ever thought of it that way? Groaning is prayer without words. And when I groan out these prayers, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit knows how to articulate what's on my heart. The Holy Spirit is there when I am communicating at my very deepest level. It has been said that the Holy Spirit is a great deal like a 911 call center. You know how it is when I call the 911 call center, I am immediately connected with the dispatcher. And immediately my name, my address, my phone number comes up on the computer screen in front of him. And what's more, the police department, the fire department, the EMTs are listening in and ready to jump into the loop. There are times when people will call 911 and they have no idea what's going on. They just know they're in trouble. There are times when people will call 911 and they're so hysterical, all they can do is scream. But still, the dispatcher knows what he needs to know. He knows who's calling, he knows where to find them, and he knows how to get help on the way. And there are those times when you and I pray those 911 prayers, and the Holy Spirit's there to take it all in. The Holy Spirit knows who we are. The Holy Spirit knows where to find us. And the Holy Spirit knows how to get help coming our way. one more thing we're going to look at here, and that is that the Holy Spirit powers up our witness for Jesus Christ. I got a moment here before we had that verse, but it will be the Mitchells. You know, when Jesus went down into the river, he was baptized in water. When he came up out of the river and knelt down on the riverbank, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And thus he began his ministry. Same thing holds true for you and I today. When we are baptized in water and we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are ordained for gospel ministry. Every believer is a minister. In the words of my mentor, my friend Floyd Brzee, years ago he wrote an article for Ministry Magazine called Layman's Lib. That's what we're talking about here. Every believer a minister. And God has given us a job to do. He's given us this job to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all things that Jesus Christ has commanded us. Big job. So big, none of us can do it all on our own. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why we need to be with fellow believers filled with the Holy Spirit, because evangelism and mission and ministry is a team sport. That's why I love to study passages like Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4 that talk about the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are preachers. Some of us are healers. Some of us can work miracles. Some of us can make sandwiches. Some of us can set up tables and chairs. Some of us can do music and take care of people. It's amazing all the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to his people. And when we work together, amazing things happen. I love the promise found in Joel, where we are told that in the last days, God will carry this to a whole new level. He will get the job done in a blaze of glory. Mitchells, would you read that passage for us, please?
I'll be reading from Joel 2, 28 and 29. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women.
Thank you. What a great promise. And the New Testament and the Old Testament as well are filled with powerful promises that God will bless us with his Spirit. When his Spirit comes upon us, we will be secure in our salvation. When his Spirit comes upon us, we will grow in our relationship with Jesus. When his Spirit comes upon us, we will be well taught and we will know the way. When his Spirit comes upon us, our prayers will be powerful. When his Spirit comes upon us, we will witness with effectiveness to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All we have to do is claim the promise. All we have to do is stake our claim on the promise. Back in 1849, there was a man by the name of John Marshall up at Sutter's Creek. He had a pan of sand he was moving around in his hands, and as he was sloshing that sand back and forth, he suddenly saw a glisten of gold, and the California Gold Rush was on. People from all over the world came to California's mother lode country seeking their fortune, and something like 40 years later, you know what happened? They found the body of John Marshall just a short distance where the gold had first been found, and he was nothing but a shriveled up derelict. What had happened? John Marshall simply didn't take the time to file his claim. Listen, my friends, today I'm asking you to file your claim. File your claim on the promise of God's Spirit in your life, and you will enjoy a wealth and a vitality far more than you have ever known before. A power and a vitality that will carry you forward in life and ministry and right through heaven's portal. Let's pray together. Oh God, thank you for your promise of the Spirit in our lives. We need that Spirit more than ever before. That Spirit that will hold us secure. That Spirit that will spur our growth. That Spirit that will guide our way, that Spirit that will enable us to pray like never before, that Spirit that will enable us to complete the mission that you have entrusted to us. Lord, fill us. Fill us now. Take us forward, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.